Meanwhile, the NFC East finished the regular season in possibly the NFC Eastest way possible. So Washington rallied to beat the Eagles, but this morning there is no brotherly love between the Birds and their fans. Many around the league questioning the game's integrity with the Eagles coaching staff, some decisions that were anything but Philly special. The silver lining, Stephen A. brought this up earlier, the loss. Now the Eagles will have the sixth pick in the draft instead of the ninth pick. Max, let me ask you this. Do you think Philly needs to just point blank clean house?
They need to fire Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman. And I don't say that lightly. You're talking about people's livelihoods. But it seems to me Doug Peterson's wanted out of Philadelphia the way he's coached in some of the games several weeks ago. Anyway, guys, I was there at the Super Bowl when the Eagles beat a Patriots team that didn't have to punt once. When the Eagles beat a Patriots team where Tom Brady threw for over 500 yards, right? Like, that was big. And the culture of that team was such that they were able to withstand their starting quarterback, who that season I thought was the best player in football until he got hurt, Carson Wentz, out for the season. And their backup, Nick Foles, comes in. And the team catches fire in the playoffs and wins the whole thing. The last remnants of that culture were spent last night. You know, it's one thing. As I said earlier, guys, I'm not trying to hear about, oh, what about the process with the Sixers? Different sport, different situation. It's one thing if there was, say, the Eagles thought Trevor Lawrence is all the difference. And if we lose this game, we get Trevor Lawrence, and if we win it, we don't. A lot of people disagree with me. I'd say, yeah, I get it. Even as a Giants fan, I get it. But to move up three spots in the draft from 9 to 6, which was clearly their plan, in my opinion. Look at the injury report before the game. No Fletcher Cox, no Miles Sims, like one after another. You're like, oh, they're not really playing their best guys. In spite of what Doug Peterson pointed to a couple guys after the game. They're not playing their best guys. They're not trying to win. And they were down 10-0. And sure enough, the plan was working. Roseman and Peterson's plan seemed to be working. But Jalen Hurts wasn't going to do it. Jalen Hurts wasn't going to roll over like that. And he brought them into the game and had a lead. And I'm not even talking about the decision to go for it on fourth down instead of kicking the game-tying field goal. There was plenty of time left, and I do believe in the analytics in that situation. And more than that, don't be scared of the negative outcome. Go for it. I get it. But when that doesn't work, you pull the starter? You pull Jalen Hurts? Guys, I said this about the Carson Wentz situation, what, a month ago? I thought everyone involved in that debacle had to go. But now, if it were me, if I were Jeffrey Lurie, they'd be gone this morning. It had already have happened. Because what Jeffrey Lurie has to show is, at least at the very top, he's not going to play it that way. When the guys fight their guts out, play their hearts out, in order to be in a position to win, when it seems like there's nothing on the line, you can't roll over then and hand the other team the victory. You can't do it. In the NFL, that kind of culture is not going to work. And at the very least, the owner has to show that he understands that. Stephen A.
First of all, I vehemently disagree with you. I don't believe that the Eagles should clean house with Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman. That's number one. But number two, and more importantly, I think that it's a damn shame I'm quite sure the American public turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to what you had to say on this particular subject. And if it wasn't my job, I would have done the same. I would not have heard a damn word that you've had to say. And here's the reason why, Max Kellerman, because even though we're talking about football as opposed to basketball, I would remind you that basically, in my mind, what you are saying is that it's all right to lose on purpose in pursuit of ultimately capturing a championship. But for somebody who's won a championship and took a team to the playoffs 3 times in his 5 years as a coach, this would be the first time he's missed the playoffs in the last 4 years. And as a result, he should be fired because he's missed the playoffs, because the culture is bad, et cetera, et cetera. Last time I checked, if you've already shown the ability to win a Super Bowl championship, why can't you get an opportunity to redo, restart? How come you can't sit up there and go like this? All right, this is a bad season. We did a bad job this year. We've got to correct the error of our ways. It seems to me that Max Kellerman is saying, that person doesn't deserve a chance. But the people that lose on purpose, time and time and time again, breaking all kind of records, losing games, in pursuit of building a culture that ultimately will culminate in a championship. Oh, they deserve all the latitude in the world. But the person that actually won a championship, because now this looks to be going in the wrong direction, they don't get an opportunity to correct themselves. That's where our thinkings appear to fall by the wayside and just go in different directions. Because here's Doug Peterson is a Super Bowl champion because they've won to the playoff. They went to the playoffs the last 3 years. And this is the first year in the last 4 years they will have missed the playoffs. I think Doug Peterson, don't get me wrong, he was lying last night, talking about trying to win, lying through his damn teeth. But I think Doug Peterson ultimately deserves the right to sit up there and go like this. Can I get a redo? This was a bad year. I messed up. I messed up with Carson Wentz. I messed up, period. Can we get an opportunity to redo this next season? I'd say he deserves that.
Any lingering remnant of that Super Bowl win as it relates to the kind of glory that redounds to the coach or the GM was spent last night, Stephen A. I don't disagree that you get a lot of equity by winning a Super Bowl, but they've been spending it in recent years, and last night did it. They lost the locker room, trust me. That locker room's not going to respond to those guys anymore. And if you want, look at Jason Kelce's media availability. Google it from December 16th. It's well worth your time. Just listen to what he has to say. And all that, they do all that so they can pick sixth instead of ninth? Guys, that's usually not going to make a difference, but particularly with Howie Roseman, who has he selected since Carson Wentz that has made a Pro Bowl? That was 5 years ago. Stephen A., the answer is no one. They haven't selected anyone in the draft that's made a Pro Bowl. And by the way, they've taken receivers ahead of DK Metcalf and Justin Jefferson. So even if you do move up, you trust that GM? Even if you think, no, 9-6 is a big deal, you trust that GM?
Hey, Matt.
You trust that guy?
Hey, Matt. Stop asking
the Pro Bowl
questions.
In 5 years
stop
to
asking
make the right choice?
And then answering them. Stop asking questions and then answering them. Ask the question and let somebody answer it, because I got a question for you.
Okay.
Max Kellerman, if somebody came up to you and said, I messed up. You're a grown man. If they said, I messed up, all right, this won't happen again. You trying to tell me grown men in that locker room are not going to be receptive to that?
I think in this case, Stephen A. They've done messed up enough in recent years. By the way, backing Carson Wentz, it seems to me, against the entire team, glorifying Wentz when he was playing poorly
at the end of
last season and was being praised for it.
The entire team was not against Carson Wentz.
Okay, a lot of, put it this way. Why does every single
It was divided 50-50 with him and Nick Foles. It was divided 50-50 between him and Nick Foles.
According to reporting, that's right. But Foles got the team to respond when they were dead. Not only did he win the Super Bowl, the next year they were 5-6. He took over, they caught fire, and went on a playoff run. Clearly you see the same thing now with Jalen Hurts. What about that offensive line? Isn't there no line, no weapons? Why is Jalen Hurts keeping them in games and winning games? And Stephen A., Roseman is the guy who handed Wentz a contract that's killing the team right now. It's an unmovable, untradeable contract. And by the way, Wentz, the guy who once again on the, last start of the season for Jalen Hurts, now is talking about it's irreparable between him and Peterson and he needs to get out there. It's amazing how he seems to do this, in my opinion, whenever Jalen Hurts is about to take the ball.
Stephen All right,
A., they got a clean house.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Get it, Steph, taking 2021 seriously, guys. 62, and here's the thing. It wasn't just against anybody. It was against the Blazers, a really good team. So, Stephen A., what did the performance tell you about him?
Well, it just reminded me that this is the greatest shooter since mankind existed. I've never seen a shooter greater than Steph Curry. I mean, it's off the dribble, it's spot up, it's anywhere on the floor, it's his movement without the basketball, it's catch and shoot, it's taking you off the dribble, it's spotting up. This brother is the greatest shooter we have ever seen, period. And when you take that in consideration and you just tickle your imagination as to when Klay gets back, the Golden State Warriors will be back at the very least in the conference finals because they're just too lethal of marksmen to ignore. I want to put this into consideration. Steph Curry is considered to be struggling. He is averaging 32 points on 45% shooting from the field, 36% shooting from three-point range, and that's considered struggling. Oh, by the way, he's shooting 98% from the free throw line. I mean, this is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. This is who he is. The first 10 years of his career, this man has shot better than 40% from three-point range. The first 10 years of his career. We celebrate people who do it once. And this dude did it the first 10 years. He is the greatest shooter man has ever seen. I know it sounds hyperbolic. It's not. It is not an exaggeration. I don't care whether you bring in Bird, whether you bring in Ray Allen, Reggie Miller, Chris Mullin. I don't give a damn. There has never been a shooter this great. And when Klay gets back, look the hell out. Golden State is going to be immediately back in championship contention. And by the way, I like that kid Wiseman.
Well, he's clearly the greatest shooter ever. He's a mobile artillery unit because he can go get his own shot, and he invented shooting it from a million miles away, which created even more space. You know, how can you change the NBA? Make it a four-point shot if it's farther away. So it didn't occur to people, no, it's all right to shoot it from 10 feet behind the arc if you can hit it regularly, which he can, which opens up the whole offense. He revolutionized the game. And by the way, for years I thought he was not a clutch shooter, Stephen A. I saw it in the playoffs. I don't care what anyone says. You go back and look at the highest leverage moments. I thought, why is Steph not as good here as he normally is? Shooting the ball. Even that started to change. Even that started to change. You know, that started to change. Given enough reps, he's now deadly in the clutch with the ball in his hand. It wasn't always that way. It is now. This is what I was thinking yesterday. This is what I took from the performance. And like a lot of people, I was watching football and keeping track of what was going on in the basketball game. Oh, my God, Steph went for what, 31 at the half? Now he's up to 40-something. Now he's up to 50-something, 62. Stephen A., there have been more athletic point guards than Steph, obviously. Allen Iverson or Russell Westbrook, MVPs, who were clearly more gifted athletically overall, right? There have been better two-way point guards than Steph Curry. Chris Paul or Isaiah Thomas, right, or John Stockton. There have been players who've done a lot of what Steph has done, Steve Nash. Although Steph is really Nash 2.0 because he doesn't need to monopolize the ball. It doesn't stick with him, and he shoots it even better than Nash. But when I look at the history of the NBA, you take away Magic Johnson, right? Modern NBA, take away Magic, who's 6'8", 6'9". He is a point guard, and he's the greatest ever. But I'm talking about of the regular-sized point guards. Steph's the best who ever did it. He's the greatest of all time. And for all the reasons I just mentioned, ball doesn't stick. Unselfish player who can score from anywhere, who makes all his teammates better shooters. And by the way, he's not a good defender because he's not big. He's wiry. He's not so, you know, long. But he plays defense. It's not like he's not there. Go ahead.
Steph Curry the other day in practice, Molly, Max, made 105 straight three-pointers. 105.
Yeah, stupid.
Straight three-pointers without a miss. Steve Kerr had the joke of the year when he sat up there and said he choked. He didn't get to 106. You understand? 105 straight
anything 105 times in a row.
Can you imagine how motivated he must be having to sit all last year and then Klay goes down? I mean, it's like his back's against the wall and he's just showing us who he is.
He's motivating the triple team and then trapping him and all of that stuff, but he's special.
Yeah, of course. And then he's not playing around.
Changed the game.
He's that dude. I just want to mention this, though. They do play the Clippers Wednesday. That one's on ESPN, so that game should be a lot of fun.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Oh, the NFC East ending in NFC East fashion. But before I get into that, welcome Ryan Clark to the show. RC, good to see you. Happy New Year to you and the beautiful family. I have one
question. Happy New Year, guys.
I know you're all about working out. You train people. Everybody's trying to get fit. Now it's January 1. Give us one tip. Before we go here, one workout or health and fitness tip.
Consistency. Okay. You got to be consistent. No matter what, make sure you get in and do it.
Okay, I'm with it. Molly. My dad always said two things. Be consistent, be resilient. What's up, Stephen A?
Molly.
There he goes.
Can I announce something on national TV that y'all might laugh at me about, but it's the absolute truth?
Of course.
I have lost 17 pounds and 11% body fat. And even though I've got a few people to thank. In all seriousness, you know, listen, the Peloton, the treadmill, the diet has improved. I got a lot of people to thank. My man OB, JJ Smith with her green smoothies, my man Bucky Marcus, people like that. But I got to give love to my man Ryan Clark. Because my man Ryan Clark looked at me one day and said, unacceptable. The Crunch Berries, this and that, it's got to stop. And he got on me so bad. The only thing worse than that, Molly, and Max, my little niece, Ketora, looked at me a few months ago. She went like this, Uncle Steve.
Now, shout that's out bad. To Ketora for I keeping it change. Real.
I had to change.
Guys, we'll do this.
Listen, you know Stephen A's happy. You know Stephen A's happy when he grows in the mustache and comes out giving the Academy Award speech over those 10 pounds or whatever it was. Good job.
That's right.
It was 17. Goodness. It's hard, especially as you get older.
17.
All right, our producer, who you know I love, Brian Bork, is going to kill me right now because I totally derailed this, and there's so much football to get into. But Stephen A, there will be follow-up questions about this weight loss, because I have some.
Sure.
All right, we'll keep it moving. So we know the deal, right? The Giants get you-know-what, and now the Eagles, you saw what they did. It's all a mess. Max, how upset do you think Eagles should be?
Everyone should be very upset with this. Guys, there's a reason the NFL flexed this game into primetime. Come on, last game of the season, and it determines who goes to the playoffs among divisional rivals, and you mail it in like that. By the way, you come in with a plan. It looked to me like you were trying to lose in terms of what you planned on doing, and in spite of that, this young dude, Jalen Hurts, wasn't having it. Didn't even play great, but willed his team to stay in the game, and I believe that gave them a good chance to win till the end, and I believe, actually, they would have won if they kept them in. I thought they had chances. I think Hurts would have won the game. And by the way, that's if you want to find out about something on your team, the second-round pick, the guy you drafted in the second round, right, because you didn't believe in your first-round quarterback anymore that you gave the $100 million contract to, and I kept telling everyone, it ain't for depth at quarterback in some abstract way. They are hedging against Carson Wentz. That dude, instead of packaging him up and getting a receiver that you needed, your second round, and then he comes in and the team comes to life behind him. You need to find out this season, what do we have here? Do we have a franchise quarterback, or do we need to draft a quarterback? Do we need to keep looking? Because it ain't Carson Wentz, that's for sure. If you need to find out about someone on your roster, it's not Sudfeld. It's not your third stringer. It's Jalen Hurts. Can you win a game on primetime that you have no business winning against a divisional rival to spoil their chances to go to the playoffs in primetime? Right, Mike? Can you do that? Yes or no? That's what you should be trying to figure out. Instead, you damage the integrity of the game. I'm not just sour grapes as a Giants fan, guys. I'm a Giants fan. And if the
Eagles, you are.
We're like, well, if we lose this game, we get Trevor Lawrence. You know, or we can keep the Giants out of the playoffs and we're not playing a divisional rival. I'd be like, ooh, I hate those Eagles, but I understand. But you're playing a divisional rival. You have a chance to keep them out by beating them. Don't tell me about going from 9 to 6 in the draft. That's garbage. That's with a GM who can't even draft a receiver or a Pro Bowler to save his life in half a decade. You care about moving up 3 spots in the draft? Eagles fans should be apoplectic, as should all football fans. That was awful.
Number one, we don't need to take you seriously on this subject. You're clearly being emotional. I'll listen to Ryan Clark talk about this because I know he's being completely objective. We know that damn sure ain't the case with you and the New York Giants. So just stop that. Secondly, you could lose a few pounds yourself, my brother, because your back's
been messed
up. I'm just letting you know. Number three. Okay, let me get to this point. He knows it's true. Number three. Here's the deal. When you look at the Eagles. You're damn right. Let me look at the Eagles like this, okay? It's a bad year. I understand it's a bad year, but sometimes there is a silver lining. You can stink up the joint to such a degree that clearly there needs to be a reset because your foibles, your problems were so flagrant they can't be ignored. And I think that's what we're looking at with the Eagles here. Clearly, Carson Wentz appears to be a miscalculation, or at least his relationship with Doug Peterson obviously has to come into strong consideration. But we also got to take into account your secondary was decimated with injuries. Your offensive line was decimated with injuries. Those were two big issues plaguing the Philadelphia Eagles. We understand how awful they are, how awful they've been all season long. But there is an upside, and you're going to have the 6th pick instead of the 9th pick. Jalen Hurts is going to be there, so you have a quarterback that you at least believe can give you something in the future. And I do think that all things are not negative and all things don't need to be killed in Philadelphia. This was a bad season. Make no mistake about it. I make no excuses for the Philadelphia Eagles, and it was disgraceful how they threw that game last night, no doubt about it. But again, the entire season was disgraceful. So I'm not that put off by what we saw last night because as far as I'm concerned, they've been damn near that bad all season long. And you needed something like this to happen before things got better.
Stephen A., how long did you write in Philadelphia?
17 years.
17 years.
1 year for every pound, Ryan.
Max is biased. They're unreal. So Max is
biased. I look good without back injuries.
I see a little bias in you, Stephen A. You seem to be being a little soft right. on Philadelphia. You seem to be going like
you would need
you
know, to go read
like
my
you got
column.
Some friends,
you would need like to go read
some,
my
like
column. Because hey, that's talking, not what I'm known for.
Hey, listen, I'm not talking about I'm broke and coming up, Stephen A. I'm talking about the I'm rich and skinny Stephen A. that I sit across from now. That's the guy I'm talking about. I ain't talking about the other dude. I'm talking about you now. You're with the I don't think it's that bad. I think yo, it is bad, Stephen A. When you come into a game as a head coach, one, your $110 million man is on the sideline in civilian clothing, right? He's in equipment-issued hoodies, right? So he ain't playing at all. And then you decide before the game, because you tell Chris Collinsworth, we want to get Nate Sudfeld reps. And after the game, he's been here 4 years. We thought he deserved some snaps. We don't give out participation trophies. It's dudes that work their whole lives to get one play in the NFL, to fight, to get that one chance. And we're going to give a guy a participation trophy? We're going to act like it's senior night in high school and he's fought so hard and you've given us so many great looks from freshman year to senior year. We're going to get you a snap? No, that's a loser's mentality. You don't come into this game. You don't come into these seasons. You don't come into these years thinking, you know what? Every game's not important. In a year where Max and many other people thought there's no way the NFL finishes 256 games. There's no way the NFL gives you 17 weeks of full football. They did it. They got it done. And we finished on that. We finished with Nate Sudfeld. I'd rather watch Hinton that was playing quarterback for the Denver Broncos that was a practice squad wide receiver. At least he was really trying. And so to see this happen, to see Doug Peterson make this decision after all that's going on in this year, show me you're going to fight to the end. What I know about the Houston Texans is they stink. Right? They are absolutely awful. So much so, J.J. Watt got on TV and talked about how some of his teammates and threw sneak disses and was dry snitching on how some people don't come to work. You know who he wasn't talking about? Number four. Because number four, on a terrible team with no help, Deshaun Watson fought his butt off to the end. And people respect that. People would have respected Doug Peterson fighting his butt off to the end. And he did not do that.
Yeah. Well, first
guys,
of all, I don't recall
guys,
saying that was, there was. Hold on, Max. Hold on, Max. I don't recall saying that stuff was good. A matter of fact, I acknowledged it was very, very bad. That's number one. So don't misquote me, especially bringing up my.
You turned into Silver Lining Steven.
That's number one. What I said was Max Kellerman doesn't need to be talking about it because of his lack of objectivity. Mr. Sam Hinkie and the process in Philadelphia throwing seasons and Max had no problem with it. But because of this game, oh my God, the sky is falling. That's what I said. Go ahead, Max.
Okay, here it goes. I even was on this show a couple weeks ago making fun of the Jets for not tanking to get the number one overall pick. I don't find that contradictory. The Jets haven't been relevant since Super Bowl III. If you have a chance to get a transformational quarterback and you've lost almost every game of the season and you blow your chance, yeah, I'll kill you. I'm not saying, well, tanking is or not doing your best to win a game is always, under every circumstance, the worst thing in the world. And by the way, a lot of people argue with me about it. This is not that. This is a team that won a Super Bowl not that long ago. This is a team who needs to find out if their second-round quarterback can win a game like that. This is a team playing a divisional rival in primetime with playoff implications for the division on the line. This is different. Circumstances matter. This is a sport, Stephen A., where moving from 9th to 6th in the draft is not going to be transformational, particularly for a GM who hands a $100 million-plus contract to Carson Wentz, who finished just ahead of Sam Darnold as the second worst statistical quarterback in the NFL this season. This is a GM who hasn't drafted a Pro Bowler since Carson Wentz 5 years ago. But he, moving from 9 to 6, is going to fix your franchise? That's why you had the most ham-handed tanking job in the history of the NFL? No.
Let me get in here real quick. When we're speaking of cleaning house, I'd already mentioned the New York Jets have fired their head coach, Jacksonville, and now I have one more team for you. This just in, the LA Chargers have announced that they have relieved Anthony Lynn of his duties. The team finished 7-9. Stephen A., your thoughts?
Sadly, he deserves it.
I cannot knock the Los Angeles Chargers for making this move. They finished 7-9. You cannot make the mistakes that they've made as a franchise on the football field and keep your job as the head coach. Now, they are obviously, I'm not covering the team, and so there are things that we may not know. I'm not a former NFL player like Ryan Clark, who knows this game in and out and can educate us about what he saw. But I will tell you this. You have a rookie quarterback that completed 66% of his passes, threw for over 4,000 yards, was 31 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and you were still finding ways to lose football games. You had surrendered numerous double-digit leads. You got blown out by Cam Newton and the New England Patriots 45-0, and that was clearly about coaching. Again, you blew numerous double-digit leads. And when you look at it from that standpoint, along with the innumerable mistakes that were made, there were so many weeks that passed by that we looked at the Los Angeles Chargers and said, coaching, not players, not a play, coaching. You can't have that many question marks when you got a rookie quarterback that looks like a stud in Justin Herbert and you're losing games because of coaching. That's inexcusable. And as big of a supporter as I am for black coaches getting an opportunity, I cannot knock the Los Angeles Chargers for making this move.
Well,
I'm sorry. I just can't do it.
Chargers had to get rid of Anthony Lynn. He was terrible. He, other than Gase, he was probably the worst in the game. This year, but because you lose an African-American coach doesn't mean you can't replace him with an African-American coach. It does not have to be a net loss in terms of diversity, particularly when the leading candidate is the offensive coordinator for the best offense, right, in Bieniemy, who should get the job if he wants it. Guys, when you look at Justin Herbert, you know, like Trevor Lawrence, I was saying the Jags are a great destination because all the picks, all the cap space, and Trevor Lawrence. He's this incredible prospect. If Trevor Lawrence has as good a rookie season as Justin Herbert, that'll be amazing. He'll have fulfilled his potential in his rookie season. Justin Herbert is just about as good a rookie as there's ever been at the position. I'm not saying Dan Marino quite, or Patrick Mahomes, you know, at least as a first-year starter. But Herbert makes you think of those guys. Like, that is an amazing job for someone. And what did I say? The best franchise is always the same combination. Great coach, great quarterback. They got a great one in Justin Herbert. And if that's an opening that Lynn blew. He blew the job. He was not up to that task. But just because, Stephen A., if you're talking about diversity, Lynn, who's African-American, is out, doesn't mean that another African-American candidate can't be put in, particularly when Bieniemy is sitting there.
I mean, you look at this team, right, guys, and you think to yourself, the last four games they win. That's how they end up 7-9. This decision was made in the middle of the season. This decision was made after the Buffalo Bills debacle. This decision was made after losing by 45 to the New England Patriots. Because when you look at this team, the way they fought down the stretch, found ways to win some close games, it seemed like things were coming along, but they had already reached a point to where they thought they were moving on from Anthony Lynn. Now it's about the next step of the process. You don't necessarily need the quarterback guru, right? You don't need the guy that's going to make Justin Herbert or let Justin Herbert fulfill his potential, because it looks like he's on his way to that. So you need a coach that's going to understand delegation, that's going to understand time management, that's going to be able to build a complete team, because it seems you have a star at quarterback. So whether it's Eric Bieniemy, whether it's Robert Saleh, wherever you go to pick this next coach, don't make it be about making Justin Herbert the best he could be. Don't make it be about who we think could call the best plays offensively. Make it be about who can be a leader of men, because those are the organizations that we see year in and year out that are in the fight for NFC and AFC championships, that are in the fight for Super Bowls. You know you have a star. Anthony Lynn didn't coach well enough to keep this job. Make sure you make the right choice now, because it's the most important choice this organization has made in a long time.
And I think it's important to point this out, y'all. The Chargers are under some pressure because the Rams were in the Super Bowl 3 years ago. They're back in the playoffs now. Sean McVay is a personality. Aaron Donald is on the Rams, along with Jalen Ramsey and those boys.
The Rams matter. The Chargers, no one gives a damn about them in L.A. That people have been talking about they need to go back to San Diego. Now, if you want to be relevant in L.A., you got to make the right call here.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, look, Justin Herbert, I would say already, guys, you know how I say most quarterbacks are dependent upon situation to be great? There are very few, like Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes, that would independently be great no matter where they were. Herbert looks like that guy to me. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's going to be fantastic wherever he is. And maybe he just showed it with Lynn. But I already see the floor for him if he stays healthy. Like Matt Stafford, that's the floor for Justin Herbert if he stays healthy. That's a hell of a floor when the upside is one of the two or three best of his generation. I agree with you, Ryan. You need a leader of men, but get a top-notch coach in there for this kid, and you will compete for Super Bowls every year.
Yep. Do something special out there. All right, guys, let me rip through a few more topics here I want to get to. Derrick Henry, how about him? Led the Titans to their first division title since 2008 with their win against the Texans. The current king of the stiff arm had 250 rushing yards, giving him his eighth 2,000-yard rushing season in NFL history. The kid is unreal. Stephen A., is Derrick Henry the most valuable non-quarterback player in football?
To me, he is. I mean, when I look at Derrick Henry and I look at how, I mean, what would the Tennessee Titans be without him? We respect what we're seeing from Ryan Tannehill. Clearly, Tennessee appears to be a right fit. I'm a real huge fan of Mike Vrabel. I think that Vrabel is an exceptional coach, and I think the culture that he has there in Tennessee cannot be ignored. They could be a bit better defensively, and that's something that they'll continue to work on. But clearly, this dude, Derrick Henry, is an absolute stud. He's the best running back in football, you know, right now in terms of productivity. He might not be as flashy as the Saquon Barkleys of the world, but what we once were saying about Ezekiel Elliott, that don't even matter anymore. He's not even in the conversation compared to this brother with what this brother is bringing to the table. And I'm a huge Derrick Henry fan, and I understand the quarterback is the quarterback position, most important position on the field, etc. But when you look at this dude carry the football, and when you see what he has done for the Tennessee Titans as an organization, and you take into consideration what they say about running backs, and you look at what this brother is doing, it's something special. Something special. I think non-quarterback-wise, he's the most valuable. And that's me considering Aaron Donald and what a monster he is. But Derrick Henry, something to behold.
I'm a huge Derrick Henry fan, but I could not disagree more. And it's not fair to running backs, but that's the way it is. It's much more about run blocking than the running back. I'll tell you again. Good run blocking, 7 yards a carry on average. Bad run blocking, even a great back, gets you 3 yards. Now, what's the premium a great back gets you over an average back behind good run blocking? He can get you 10 instead of 7. That's really good, but the real premium, according to Casey Joyner, the football scientist, Stephen A., who's looked at all of this stuff, right? The real premium is that he's as good on the 300th snap as he is, or his 300th carry, rather, as he is on his first. That's the roster spot. That has value.
That's real.
That's really the value of a running back, especially if you're not a great pass catcher, right? Now, Derrick Henry stays healthy, knock wood, and he plays big when the lights shine brightest. Like, I love me some Derrick Henry, but a more one-dimensional back is never going to be, in my opinion, among the most valuable players in football, and certainly not on the level of Aaron Donald, who is in the conversation for greatest player at his position of all time. And in fact, I think he'd win that conversation, right? He'd win that debate. No. There's a reason that teams that win the Super Bowl don't draft running backs in the top 5.
Yeah, you know what? This is hard because I see Derrick Henry now. You look at his trajectory. It's Hall of Fame, right? You lead the league in back-to-back years or 2 years. You usually get to the Hall of Fame. You get 2,000 yards. You usually end up there, and that's where Derrick Henry is going. But you remember, this team takes off when Ryan Tannehill is placed as the starter at quarterback. To me, and I'm not saying this person is the best non-quarterback in the league. The most important, the most influential to this playoff run will be Stephon Diggs. What Stephon Diggs has added to the Buffalo Bills was worth everything they had to give up for him. The King's ransom that many thought they gave up to get him was worth every penny. Because not only did he turn into the top wide receiver in the league, 127 catches, over 1,500 yards, but he made his quarterback not a dude, the dude. Right now, if you ask the other 15 teams in the AFC, hey, would you trade your quarterback for Patrick Mahomes? 13 for sure, I know, go right away. The Houston Texans give it some thought, and the Buffalo Bills say hell no. The Buffalo Bills organization say hell no. Their offense says hell no. Their coach says hell no. Their fans say hell no because of Josh Allen. And the reason we see the Josh Allen we see today is because of Stephon Diggs. Coming into this year, his completion percentage, Josh Allen, against man was extremely low. You know why it went up? Because Stephon Diggs gets wide open against one-on-ones.
I'm with you on Stephon.
Let me challenge
Diggs.
You on that, Ryan. Stop. Hold on, Max. Hold on, Max.
Holmes?
Let me challenge you.
Holmes?
Let me challenge you on that, Mac, Ryan Clark. First of all, we have to sit up there and look at McDermott and what he has done on both sides of the ball. We have to look at how they've helped Josh Allen grow. We've got to look at Devin Singletary, him running the football. There's a lot of components to the Buffalo Bills that we are extremely attracted by. Collectively, they just look coached up. That's not to take anything away from Stephon Diggs, who's proven to be a stud, but they've just been coached up. Now let me juxtapose that. Let me bring in Derrick Henry. He's averaging 5.4 yards a carry. He's got over 2,000 yards rushing. They've got the number two rushing attack in all of football, the number two offense in yards accumulated, the number four offense in points, but they're number 23 in the passing. See, he's that guy. He's that guy.
Stephen A.,
everything that Tennessee is offensively, it's because of him.
He's going to he should finish in the top four in MVP. He's going to be offensive player of the year.
Okay.
Here's my question. Question to you, though. I didn't say this guy. Here's my question to you. We talk about the most valuable. Where was Derrick Henry standing in the second half of the AFC Championship last year? I can tell you. He had on a jacket, and he was standing next to Mike Vrabel. That's what I'm saying. When it's going to be big time, when he's going to be needed, he may have to stand on the sideline because that's not what he does. Stephon Diggs is going to be out there every play. And people know he's getting – go ahead. You got it, Max.
I think Stephon Diggs is a great answer because he was a tipping point on the offense. He gave them a dynamic that unlocked Josh Allen in a new way and the whole thing. But you have to be out of your mind if you don't think they would trade Josh Allen for Patrick Mahomes. Guys,
Patrick Mahomes could be a terrible person.
And most football fans would trade people in their family for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, let's be honest about Mahomes. Like, Josh Allen is a hell of a talent.
The Bills might be able to come for you.
Season. You know they would trade. Watson on top of everything else has that championship swag. Like, but even then, they're trading Josh Allen for Mahomes. You're crazy.
Trade family members. You're wrong for that. You are wrong for that. Stephen A., I need to talk to you one more time here because I don't know if you heard this, but the Dallas Cowboys did not make the playoffs, and we're probably not going to hear about them for 8 months. So I just didn't know if you had any final words because we're going to miss them because we love Dallas here on First Take as two Giants fans.
Let me say this. It's a few people that I've had the pleasure of meeting and getting to know just a little bit over the years. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, the Jamie Foxes of the world, huge Dallas Cowboy fans. My man Omar Epps, huge Dallas Cowboy fans. Denzel Washington is still APB out for him because anytime the Dallas Cowboys are playing, you can't find him because he knows what time it is with them. Of course, you've got that going on along with various NBA players, the LeBron James of the world and others. There's Cowboy fans all over the place. My boys that I grew up with, Mark Turner, went to school with, Pete Whitfield, Winston-Salem State, all these guys. I can't find anybody today. I've been looking for them. I can't find them.
That's
Where are they? I've called them. I've texted. I have FaceTime. I just can't find anything. And usually when it comes to Cowboy fans, they're so quick to say they could go 1-15, they could miss the playoffs, and within an hour, you know we're gonna make the Super Bowl next year, right? Right? I didn't hear any of that yesterday. You know why? Because their hearts are broken. Because they got teased into believing they were gonna make it. They really thought they were going to play.
Bro, you're so right?
And sure enough, it came crashing down. This is a beautiful, beautiful day
for
Cowboys fans all across the world. I could say my condolences to you, but I don't give a damn about none of yous. I'm loving the fact that Cowboy fans are miserable. The hell with all of yous. All of yous. Now take your behinds home, and I'll see y'all in August. Goodbye.
Now, Ryan, you talked about consistency earlier. That is consistency right there by Stephen A. By the way, Harden and Luka in action tonight. Max, you're going to love that. Your boy Luka. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Bye, guys.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.